Welcome to Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. Coming up, it's Orange Barrel season, and we'll hear from an expert about construction awareness and safety. And Jay Fox will talk with a trend expert about the latest in smart technology for travel. Plus, Angela Ann is in for Doug Petcash of Face the State, and we'll have a look at state politics. First up on Columbus Perspective.
Everywhere you go in Columbus, there's construction. Road construction, bridge construction, new housing developments, commercial buildings and parking garages being developed. Heavy construction vehicles have rolled on to the National Mall in May to celebrate construction. Now, this event happened from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, and it showcased the construction industry and highlighted the workforce, technologies, and innovations that have shaped communities across the country, and especially right here in the Buckeye State. Megan Tennell is the president and CEO of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, and she joins us on Columbus Perspective. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. It's our pleasure. So, talk to me about this celebration of construction. What was it?
Yeah, it's a very unique event. We've only done this twice, but it's a chance to bring pretty big construction equipment onto the National Mall and interact with the general public, invite members of Congress to come out, talk to us about some of the technology and innovation in the industry, bring out the regulators that are coming out. You know, the EPA comes out, or OSHA and MSHA, and we really get a great opportunity to educate those in D.C. that maybe don't make it to a job site very often or don't make it into the manufacturing facilities to learn about the impact of the industry and the opportunities that it presents.
So that happened on the federal level. Did anything happen at the state or city level?
That's a great question. So with this event, not necessarily. However, as an association, we do numerous events around the country in conjunction with our members. So, for example, we were in Columbus, Ohio last year during our Manufacturing Express, and we did a great event at Eagle Crusher and had some state representatives out, and it was a chance for us to celebrate the workers in those manufacturing facilities and educate locals on opportunities in the industry, as well as, again, showcasing the technology. So I love that you asked that question, and I love that we were just in Columbus.
Well, we call it Boomtown at WBNS because everywhere you turn in every corner of Columbus and Franklin County, and even in the five-county metro area, there's construction going on, and most specifically road construction, because when Columbus was built, way back when, they didn't anticipate being a city with the population that we have now,
right,
nor the possibility for 3 million people by 2035.
Right.
So you take a look at the intersection of Interstate 70 and Interstate 71 and State Route 315, and they're building this huge overpass. And there's tons of equipment and tons of construction going on just in that one project alone.
Yeah.
So how are innovations in construction technology shaping our future? What's going on?
Right. Well, I understand that it can be frustrating to have to deal with construction of our roads and bridges, but I don't want to live in a world where we don't have that construction going on.
You have to have it.
You have to. And a lot of our infrastructure is really old, and it hasn't been sustainable. So we've been able to use some of the federal funds, or some of the states have had some funds, right, to really look at projects. And if you're going to do it right. And what I mean by that is, you know, through technological advances, there are better ways, or maybe more efficient or sustainable ways, to run those roadways. So again, it's dealing with that current frustration to have long-term safety, right, that you want to have. The technology that the equipment manufacturers are embracing, you know, include electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles. We've got autonomous vehicles, which really lead to safer job sites. You've got the equipment utilizing telematics, which means, like the auto industry has done, this equipment through telematics can talk to each other, or they can be communicating back to a headquarter where you have less downtime because you can make some better decisions because you know what's happening with that equipment or on that job site. And even embracing AI, of course, which offers some great opportunities for us. A lot of this then feeds into, you know, jobs creation and economic impact. And I don't know if you want to head into talking about that a little bit.
Well, I do. And I want to ask one question, because when you go to a union meeting and you bring up AI, the first thing you hear is they're going to take our jobs away. That's a problem. And it's not necessarily true.
Correct.
So how does this new technology contribute to job creation?
It is a misperception, but as we all know, change is hard, right? And sometimes learning new things can be hard, too. There's great opportunity for us to be able to upskill people. And I'm not talking about someone who is afraid of technology. There's ways to embrace that, and it's not so scary. So for us, overall in manufacturing, we represent 2.3 million men and women nationally. In construction alone, that's 1 million people. Right there in Ohio, you're just about 154,000 jobs. That has an economic impact in Ohio of $19.6 billion. And while that sounds great, we're forecasting in manufacturing as a whole, we're forecasting a shortage of 1.9 million people. So to hear some say they're worried they're going to lose their jobs, I want to tell them they're not going to lose their jobs. They might have the opportunity to learn some new skills, but we need more people to join them. There's really going to be a planned shortage. And so part of this technology is going to help us deal with that potential shortage of labor. And also, it offers an opportunity for really solid paying jobs. You know, this is an industry that our salaries are roughly 33% above the national average. And so it's something where you can graduate high school and get a solid job and maybe buy that pickup truck or that fancy car you always wanted a lot quicker than your friends going to a four-year college.
Well, and hold that thought for a minute, because you brought it up. How is the Association of Equipment Manufacturers partnering with trade schools at the high school level to prepare these kids to step into these jobs, because there's such a necessity and a need for these workers right now?
Yeah, that is a great question. So it's kind of a multifaceted approach here. So we work with our own government and talk about the importance of different, you know, Pell grants and the opportunity to support different schools in embracing some of this curriculum in their schools. And then we work workforce really has to be, it's a personal thing. It's something that each company needs to take on in their own right to engage with their community. Our job is to help educate our members in ways of doing that. So here's opportunities of how you can engage with your local high schools or your tech schools. Here's a way to reach out to parents. You know, some of this is the parents holding up the kids because they're concerned about the future of the industry or the pay. And it's a great way for us to be able to share, here's the positive information. Here's how clean manufacturing facilities are. Here's the number of jobs available, you know, to your kid who might go into this industry. So it's joint effort throughout the industry, and it could be anywhere from a manufacturing facility. It could be at a dealer or a distributor, or it could be an end user. It could be a contractor who's on the site. So there's really a lot of opportunity, and there's a lot of cross collaboration to educate people on the opportunities.
Every time there's a change in administration at the federal level, the concepts of green technology and sustainable building practices change.
Yeah.
Where are we now, and what does that mean for the environment for the future?
So this industry isn't going to slow down on its focus on sustainability and the importance of that. You know, what we're doing is building the future. So the needs of our industry don't change with each administration. And that's also why we are always looking for a long-term, fully funded highway bill every time it comes up. Because you know, the needs of our roads and bridges and the safety that we all deserve as we're driving across those roads or those bridges shouldn't change with an administration.
So, and I'm sure you're aware that a couple of, actually last month, you know, during the primary, that initiative passed in Ohio again. It was issue 2. And I think this is now the third or fourth time that they've renewed this $1 billion-plus you know, no new taxes, but it makes the money available to continue roads, bridges, infrastructure, water systems, et cetera. It passed by an overwhelming majority.
Thank God, because I think people just realize the importance, right? The importance of this safety. You should have clean water. You know, you brought up water, the needs to the access to clean water, safe roads, safe bridges. It needs to go beyond state. It absolutely has to be supported at the state level, but it also has to be supported at the national level with our federal government.
So your program is kind of akin to having coffee with a cop or the fire truck coming to the block party. You're making people familiar with and understanding the importance of heavy construction vehicles, correct?
I love that example. I don't know. When I was a child, I never got an opportunity to walk up to a large piece of construction equipment and climb on it. And that was the opportunity that people had on the National Mall, that their kids could come in. And it was really great because the manufacturers had their equipment there. They allowed people to go on it, to ask questions, to show them the innovations. And right next to that equipment might be a sandbox where the kids could play with construction toys and enjoy themselves. So, I mean, we don't want people to think they can just walk into any job site and do this, right? You know, but these kids had their parents there. It really, yes, it's really bringing this industry to the public, as well as, like I said, our government officials to help educate and share, celebrate this industry. There's a lot of growth and a lot of opportunity ahead.
I have a picture somewhere from years ago in my career working in the Phoenix area where I went and toured a gold mine. And I got to see the excavation equipment. And there's a picture of me standing at the wheel of one of these vehicles. And I was only a third of the way up the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're huge.
The mining equipment is insane.
Yes, it is.
And we offer an opportunity to get even closer to that equipment every 3 years with our trade show, ConExpo ConAg in Las Vegas, where the entire industry comes together. And there's nothing more amazing than, as you said, walking up to one of the largest pieces of equipment you've ever seen, and you feel so small.
Yeah.
And these are the kind of jobs we have available. You could operate that piece of equipment. That piece of equipment.
I don't think I will.
Whole neighborhood.
All right, Megan, we want to thank you for being with us. Before we let you go, if our listeners want to learn a little bit more about what we've talked about today, where do we send them?
We would love to have them come visit our website. It's AEM.org, AEM.org, and you can learn more about the celebration of construction. You can learn more about our industry, and you can learn more about jobs available.
All right. There is a fabulous opportunity to learn, and for Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
You're listening to Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's Jay Fox.
Columbus is a trend-setting town. As far back as the 1980s, Columbus was considered a test market for new concepts in retail, restaurants, fashion, and other trends. If it worked in Columbus, labeled an all-American city at the time, it would work everywhere. Artificial intelligence is everywhere these days, and as we endeavor to become, quote, smarter, the technology continues to evolve, and now it's available in, get this, eyewear. You can bet Columbus is going to jump all over this one. Trend expert Justine, I'm going to try to get this name right, Santaniello. joins us now on Seba's Perspective, on Columbus Perspective, and says these AI glasses are just the tip of the smart technology iceberg. Welcome, Justine. Did I get the name right?
You did. I mean, technically, if we were in Italy, it would be Santaniello.
Santaniello.
Would be proud.
Good. So what are some of the latest smart technologies that have been developed, and then we can talk about the impact that they're going to have on our lives?
Yeah, of course. So when you're traveling, obviously you want to find those perfect tech items that are going to make your traveling easier, right? Smoother, sound better, be more entertaining. There are so many options now at our fingertips depending on what type of traveling you're doing, you know, and what the purpose is. So let's start small, right, with some items to keep an eye out for that you must have when you're traveling. Of course, you want portable chargers. You want to make sure that when you get a portable charger that the cords are already built in. This way you don't need any extra pieces. You want to have a great e-reader if you're someone who loves to read books while you're on vacation instead of carrying around 100 of those heavy paperbacks, right? Luggage trackers are probably one of my favorites now that you can keep an eye now on where your suitcases are. If you're traveling for work, let's say, you want to make sure that you have a portable hotspot that's going to provide you internet for, let's say, up to 10 devices. You want to make sure you have one of those small portable monitors so it's a little bit easier to see when you're working. And also, I love that now you can even buy luggage that has charging stations built into the luggage. I think that's really cool instead of always having to be looking for an outlet, let's say, in an airport or at the hotel. And then, of course, if you're going overseas, travel adapters, you want to find one that works in a wide variety of places. They have some now that work in over 200 countries.
We know that distracted driving causes road deaths, and our station WBNS in Columbus has been active with the Maria Tiberi Foundation to educate and reduce that risk. Will the technology that we've discussed help drivers stay off their phones?
I mean, a lot of the items that I just mentioned, they don't have anything to do with while you're driving. They're all to make your travel experience easier. They shouldn't be anything that you should have out while you're driving. And you want to be keeping your phone, of course, away from you, not just when you're driving, but, you know, that's obviously a safety concern. But when you're traveling, maybe you want to take a minute to unplug, right, to silence your phone. And there are gadgets, believe it or not, that can help you to do that. So again, an e-reader, for example, you can load up all different titles, and then you don't even need internet access, and you don't have to be on your phone. You don't have to buy a paperback. You're set. Also, probably one of my all-time favorite tech items right now, the Ray-Ban Meta glasses. Those allow you to stay off of your phone, but yet still connected in the way you want to be.
Okay, hang on. We got to dive deep into this. What exactly is a smart pair of glasses? How does it work?
Yes. Okay, so this is really cool. So the Ray-Ban Meta glasses have AI built into the glasses. So just to give you guys a visual, these are the Ray-Bans you know and love. They're always coming out with new styles. Like right now they have the Skylar frame, which is like this cat eye shape. So it's combining style, you could do it as a prescription, as a sunglass, with cutting edge technology. So some examples of things you could do with the Ray-Ban Meta glasses. You can ask questions and get answers in real time. So you're traveling, you see monuments, you see historic landmarks, and you have questions. You can ask those to the glasses and get answers right on the spot.
So you orally talk to your glasses?
Yes, so you talk to your glasses, which I know might sound a little different.
I have this vision of being with a group of tourists and I'm talking to myself, and suddenly I find myself in a mental institution and I'm like, no, I was really just talking to my glasses. Okay, Jay.
I think these days most
most people are aware, because even if you weren't talking to your glasses, now everybody's got, you know, like something in their ear, right? And they're having a conversation on their phone. It looks like somebody's just talking to themselves, but really they're on a phone call. It's kind of a similar concept. I mean, you can be listening to music, you could be listening to podcasts. Nobody around you is hearing the music, but you are. And what's great about that is you don't have to pack an extra set of headphones. You could do it right through the glasses. I mean, you can also capture moments. You could take videos. You could take photos without having to go and grab your phone. You know, I have small kids, so when I'm traveling with them, I don't have even an extra second to go into my bag to get my phone to take a picture of them. Like, the moment's gone already by then. So now with the glasses, I could take that picture right on the spot and stay in the moment.
You could also be a sleuth and record a conversation with somebody without them knowing about it.
Well, actually, there are a lot of privacy features on the glasses. So when you are recording a video, let's say if you're recording anything, there is a small light in the front of the glasses which will illuminate, which lets the other person know you are recording.
Well, that's good. That's good news.
Privacy practices and safety practices in place.
So if I'm at Mount Rushmore and I can't remember who Teddy Roosevelt is, but I'm looking at Mount Rushmore, and I say, who's that president? Will it tell me?
Yes.
All right, here's another one for you.
You're down to the most simple thing, right? You are parking your car in a mall parking lot, right? The worst ever. You can take that photo of that, tell the glasses to remember where you parked, and it will remember for you.
So I'm at a party, and I'm supposed to know the people who are at the party, and I encounter somebody whose name I don't remember. Will face recognition technology whisper a person's name in my ear?
Listen, if it's one of your friends, I'm not sure about that. Listen, the technology is advancing continuously. Every version of these glasses gets better and better. But true facial recognition of, let's say, your friends at a party, I'm not quite sure if we're all the way there yet. But listen, the technology has advanced so much that now they actually have language translation. So imagine being able to ask for directions, right? Or have a conversation with somebody without the language barrier. And you could do this in English, French, Italian, Spanish, where you will actually hear the person you're talking to in your preferred language through the glasses. All you have to do is say, hey, Meta, start live translation. And you will hear that person in your preferred language. And then if you wanted to, you could even show them the translated script of the conversation on your phone. And you could do that even when you're in airplane mode.
So the audio for these glasses is in the earpieces to the glasses?
Right. It's actually built into the glasses. So you don't need anything additional to go into your ears. You know, you don't need headphones. You just need the glasses.
So if political leaders from foreign countries were to meet with political leaders from the United States, they could actually speak to each other in their own language without a translator.
Correct.
Boy, that is some far-reaching consequences right there.
I mean, listen, everything has to be used correctly and smartly, but if you're using it the right way, these can be such an amazing tool to make your everyday life, but then also especially your traveling, so much easier.
Is there any visual component to it? Like, do you see something in your eyes, or is it just audio?
You are not seeing something in your eyes, no.
Okay. But so at some point in time, maybe?
Dangerous. You don't have to worry about that. You can use it in a prescription format. You could do it in sunglasses. You could even have it look like regular glasses, but they're not prescription, for like a vanity glass. Your choice.
I wonder if these glasses will eventually evolve into solving actual eye problems as well.
Possibilities are endless. Like I said, the first version of this to now is day and night. It just keeps getting better. They keep talking to customers and users to make the user experience better and easier. And also, like I said, I think it's a big selling point that they are nice-looking frames as well. This is not like, you know, what we used to envision yesteryear of what a glass like this would look like, you know, big and clunky. These truly just look like your Ray-Ban glasses.
I've been wearing Ray-Ban since I was 15.
Ah, so there you go.
That was a long time ago.
And make them into Ray-Ban Meta glasses.
There you go. If I want to learn more about all this, and I guarantee you the listeners are going to want to do a deep dive, where do we go?
Yeah, you guys go to meta.com/AI-glasses. That'll take you right to the Ray-Ban Meta glasses.
Trend expert Justine Centinella. Did I get that right?
Centinella.
God, what a beautiful name. Thank you so much for being on Columbus Perspective. And I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Now, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10TV, here's Angela Ann from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10TV.
People from around Ohio testified at the State House about two controversial bills. Lawmakers say at issue is national security, but some Ohioans say it is downright discrimination and is bringing hundreds of people to the state capitol. Senate Bill 88 would ban certain foreign nationals from buying properties within 25 miles of critical infrastructure. That includes military bases and airports. It is similar to House Bill 1, which would prohibit a business that is owned or controlled by a U.S. foreign adversary. Now, among those who testified, a 14-year-old girl who had this message for lawmakers.
This downward spiral will not stop at one or two bills. This is about who we choose to be when history is watching in horror. This is about whether we will finally rise to the promise carved in our founding documents. For Ohio, the state I love.
As a father, I am deeply worried about the message this bill sends to my children. They are both under 3 years old, and I want them to grow up in a community that values diversity, not one that fears it.
Now, those who testified say they will be back at the State House when House Bill 1 goes before lawmakers again in early June. 10 TV's Tara Jabor spoke with people on both sides as this controversy starts to gain attention.
People showed up at the State House to protest the proposed legislation. Vincent Wang was among them. He's the chair of the Asian American Coalition of Ohio and says the bill would interfere with people's rights.
Strip people from the freedom to live and work freely, contribute to the society here. This agenda is going to push the immigrants out and cause fear, cause hatred among the community.
Hong Mei Lee with the Ohio Chinese American Council says the bills target immigrants, even those who have lived in Ohio for years.
Many of us have lived, worked, and contributed to the economy in this country for generations. We are not perpetual foreigners. Ohio is our home.
Representative Angela King is a sponsor of House Bill 1. She says the bill is about national security.
To keep our power stations, water treatment facilities, gas pipelines, rails, and military installations safe from surveillance and espionage.
I asked the representative what she would say to those in the Asian community who feel this bill targets them.
It's about citizenship, not race or national origin. This also applies to Cuba, North Korea, Iran, and Russia.
Not all representatives support the bill. Rep. Anita Samani says she hopes to get rid of House Bill 1.
This bill would only serve to increase hate and prejudice against one group without any true benefit to us here in Ohio.
Tara Jabor, 10TV News.
Now, just days before that hearing got underway, an amendment to Senate Bill 88 was accepted by the committee. It would grandfather in anyone who currently owns property that could potentially be affected by this bill if it passes. Now, in just 10 minutes, we will hear from Ohio Representative Anita Samani, who oversees District 8, encompassing Worthington and parts of Dublin and Columbus. We'll get her perspective on why representation matters at the state level when it comes to these types of proposals.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Well, this week, Governor Mike DeWine and the Ohio Department of Public Safety are making changes on the state level when it comes to missing persons investigations. After meeting with advocates and experts for months, the governor's office published new recommendations on how law enforcement should respond as families frantically try to bring their missing loved ones home. So the new recommendations urge the Attorney General's office to develop advanced training for all investigators and dispatchers. It's 18 points and in all developed after six group sessions focused on better communication between law enforcement and families. It also includes improved training, legal reforms, and enhanced information sharing at every level. Now, another recommendation is presenting legislation that would allow law enforcement to have easier access to social media.
One of the tools that law enforcement officers use to gather that information is a search warrant for records pertaining to phone records or internet records or social media records. So many people, again, we all these days carry our lives on our phone and with us and through social media. And a lot of time that information has clues about where we're at. And if law enforcement can quickly or easily access that information, again, they can bring resolution to these families.
The governor formed this working group back in January to study the complex challenges of missing persons cases, from investigative delays to the emotional toll on families. Well, Senate Republicans appear poised to make some big changes to President Trump's budget bill that narrowly passed the House. Speaker Mike Johnson is now urging the Senate to make as few changes as possible to a bill that would slash Medicaid funding to help pay for the president's tax reforms. Now, earlier this week, Doge director Elon Musk announced that he was leaving his position, and this came just 2 days after comments he made on the bill on CBS Sunday Morning.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
Later this week, reporters asked President Trump about Elon Musk's comments.
I'm not happy about certain aspects of it, but I'm thrilled by other aspects of it. That's the way they go. It's very big. It's the big, beautiful bill. But the beautiful is because of all of the things we have. The biggest thing being, I would say, the level of tax cutting that we're going to be doing.
Ohio Republican Senator John Houston was in Columbus this past week, and we asked him if he supports the bill as it's written today. He told us it's complicated.
I want to provide tax relief. I want to preserve the services that people depend on, like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We want to preserve those for the people who are truly in need. But we also have a responsibility to move towards a balanced budget that will put America on a sustainable path. Figuring out how you put all those things together, that's going to be our challenge, and I'm excited to get started.
Republicans are hoping to get the bill to the president's desk by the 4th of July. Well, this week, it has certainly been an emotional week for all those involved in law enforcement. Two Mifflin Township police officers in central Ohio are now recovering after they were shot by a suspect during a traffic stop. And just days before that shooting, 31-year-old Morrill County Sheriff's Deputy Daniel Scherer was shot and killed responding to a domestic violence call. Now, the FOP president, Brian Steele, says his first priority is making sure those two officers in Mifflin recover. But he also brought up this concern.
When the dust settles, the third thing we're going to do to FOP is find out why was this violent offender back on our streets.
So the suspect he's referring to is Devontae Dixon, and 10 TV went through his criminal history. He has been convicted of several violent crimes in just the last 3 years. The question now is, why was he released back into the community? 10 TV investigative reporter Rochelle Aline took those policy concerns to Franklin County leaders.
Aggravated battery and two weapons charges. Those are the three felonies Devontae Dixon pled guilty to in 2024. But instead of jail time, Dixon was offered a deal. The Franklin County Prosecutor's Office dropped four other charges, and Dixon was placed into community control. 10 TV tracked down someone close to Dixon to learn more about his past, but they chose not to speak to us. We were able to speak to local attorney Sam Szymanski. He says community control is used to rehabilitate people, and he called Dixon's reoffense a rarity.
I'm guessing and gleaning from this record that this gentleman pled guilty and was put into a rehabilitation program, likely because he has a drug problem, and was given a chance at community control, which is supervision, which is way more effective than sticking somebody in prison and having them come out even harder than they are when they go in.
And he said this of the judge who accepted that plea deal.
We elect judges to make tough decisions every day. And to those of to those folks in the audience who think that's an easy job, they're wrong.
But tonight, someone who is questioning that decision is the president of the local police union.
We're asking, no stone is going to be unturned too. We're going to want to find out every single person that was involved in that decision, including the prosecutor's office, because we believe they also agreed to this joint resolution to give community control.
Now, Rochelle Aline also contacted the prosecutor's office for comment about this, and they released the following statement saying, quote, we live in Ohio, a state in which legislators have made it very easy to access guns without a license. Until laws around guns and gun safety change, it will remain too easy for firearms to land in the wrong hands, end quote. Now, just one day before that shooting, hundreds of people paid respects to Deputy Scherer as his body was moved from the coroner's office to the funeral home in Mount Gilead. Dozens of police and fire departments lined the streets in several counties and honored Scherer with a raised flag between fire trucks. You could also see tears flowing as the cruisers passed underneath. Many kids we saw holding flowers, others holding up flags. Most people we talked to say they never met Deputy Scherer, but they wanted to be there to show support.
Nothing is ever going to bring your son back, but your community loves and supports you and thanks him for his service. And we just truly sorry for their loss. And there's no words. There's no money. There's no food. There's nothing that will make it feel better. It's like a circle, you know, we just stand around them.
So now the Delaware County Sheriff's Office is taking over this investigation with assistance from the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation. Meantime, Attorney General Dave Yost reacting to the news of the fallen deputy, saying in part, quote, my heart is torn by the loss of yet another Ohio law enforcement officer who paid the ultimate sacrifice while protecting his community. We are forever indebted to those who lay down their lives for others. Now, Yost is referring to the death of another sheriff's deputy earlier this month. Larry Henderson was directing traffic during commencement at the University of Cincinnati when a man rammed a car into him. The driver, Rodney Hinton Jr., is now facing an aggravated murder charge.
Columbus Perspective is a public affairs presentation of WBNS Radio. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its guests and do not necessarily reflect those of WBNS Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's more from Face the State, courtesy of 10TV.
A desperate plea from the father of 8-year-old Kaya Joka. She's a third grader at Columbus Academy and in urgent need of a bone marrow transplant to save her life. Now, Kaya was diagnosed on Easter with a rare disease where her body just stops producing blood cells. 10TV's Kristen McFarland shows us how the family is fighting to find a life-saving match.
They say time heals all wounds, but for 8-year-old Kaya Joka and her family, time is a thief.
You're almost grieving, right? You have lost what you saw as your child's life in a way.
4 weeks ago, the little girl was diagnosed with a rare disorder, severe aplastic anemia. Her doctors didn't waste any time looking for a bone marrow donor.
Out of all the 40 or 50 million people that they searched that are in the registry, currently I believe there was two of them that were a match, and neither has responded yet.
Kaya's father says as they wait for a response, maybe days, maybe weeks, his daughter's condition continues to get worse.
Show me your one bruise you got just a couple days ago. So this comes up from nothing. This is just taking a shower. All of this happens all over the body.
And instead of spending her time at school and playing outside, Kaya stays home, counting the days between transfusions.
I was, like, kind of really sad because I was just about to have, like, a big lacrosse game, but then we had to go to the hospital, so I had to miss it.
The family is holding out hope that their time will come, but Kaya's search for a life-saving match is made even harder because there aren't enough diverse donors.
If a patient is of a Caucasian descent, especially Western European, we have about a 75% chance of being able to find a donor for. For folks who are of African or Asian descent, that chance is much lower.
Her family urging people to get tested now as the clock is ticking.
All the donors that I've ever talked to said it was the single best thing they ever did in their life.
Thank you, Kristen, for bringing us Kaya's story. Now, if you want to learn more on how you can possibly be the match, just go to 10tv.com and click on feature links. You'll see how easy it is to get registered as a donor and get tested.
Again, that's courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10TV, from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10TV. This has been Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. Heard each Sunday morning at 6 on WBNS FM 97.1 The Fan and on 1460 AM ESPN Columbus.